भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अथैतत् पूर्णम् अभ्यात्मम् यच्च नित्यानृतं वचः सर्वं नित्यानृतं ब्रूयात् स दुष्कृति स्वसन्मृतः अथैतत् पूर्णम् अभ्यात्मम् यच्च नित्यानृतं वचः सर्वं नित्यानृतं ब्रूयात् स दुष्कृति स्वसन्मृतः अथैतत् पूर्णम् अभ्यात्मम् यच्च नित्यानृतं वचः सर्वं नित्यानृतं ब्रूयात् स दुष्कृति स्वसन्मृतः अथैतत् पूर्णम् अभ्यात्मम् यच्च नित्यानृतं वचः सर्वं नित्यानृतं ब्रूयात् स दुष्कृति स्वसन्मृतः पूर्णमभ्यात्मम् यच्च नित्यानृतं वचः सर्वं नित्यानृतं ब्रूयात् स दुष्कृति स्वसन्मृतः Vaishnavis. Ata, therefore. Etat, that. Purnam, completely. Abhyatmam, drawing the compassion of others by presenting oneself is always poverty stricken. Yat, that. Cha, also. Na, not. Iti, thus. Anritam, false. Vachaha, words. Sarvam, completely. Na, not. Iti, thus. Anritam, falsity. Bruyat, who should say. Sa, such a person. Dushkirtihi, infamous. Svasan, while breathing or while alive. Mritaha, is dead or should be killed. Translation. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing. And this may be very good for them, because in this way they are assured of not losing their money and of always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned. If one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing, or according to another interpretation, such a man of falsity should be killed while still breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. Etaitat purnam abhyatmam yaneti sayat sarvam neti bruyat pipikasya kirti jayate sainam tatraiva hanyat. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainam tatraiva hanyat. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Yeah. You want me to finish? Strishu narma vivahe cha. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Strishu narma vivahe cha. Vrityarte pranasankhate go brahmanarte himsayam nanritam syaj jugupsitam. Translation. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vamanadeva Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. I'd like to thank all of you for allowing me to serve you today. I beg the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas that I can speak appropriately on the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhantas, which has been handed down to us from Srila Prabhupada. So we're continuing with the divine leela of Lord Vamanadeva begging charity from Bali Maharaj, which is very instructive in so many ways. We know that Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. He was performing a yajna. And Bali Maharaj was very attracted to Vamanadeva and respectfully received him, washed his lotus feet, even put the water of Lord Vamanadeva on his head. And then appropriately, as the king, as the kshatriya, he saw this brahmachari dwarf and said, "What would you like? I can give you anything. Please ask from me whatever you like." And so Vamanadeva said that he would only like 3 steps. Bali Maharaj said, "Only 3 steps? I could give you so many things. I could give you your own island even." And Lord Vamanadeva requested that he only wanted 3 steps. And at this point, Sukracharya, he came in to try to stop Bali Maharaj, try to get him to go back on his promise to Lord Vamanadeva. And in previous purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions how Sukracharya represents the smarta Brahmins, or those priestly class that are only after sense gratification. The smarta Brahmins, they perform the rules, rituals, sacrifices only for gaining material sense gratification. And so Sukracharya is seeing that his position, his own wealth by being connected with Bali Maharaj is in danger. And so in these verses that we've been reading, Sukracharya is trying to get Bali Maharaj to go back on his promise. But Bali Maharaj, he is a Kripa Siddha. He has received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather. And so there's 2 types of perfections. There's Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. In sadhana siddha, one relies on their own practice to try to get to perfection. Whereas kripa siddha means that you serve the great souls, or you get the mercy of great souls and you attain perfection that way. So Bali Maharaj is a kripa siddha by getting mercy from Prahlad Maharaj. And so in today's verse, Sukracharya, in trying to get Bali Maharaj to go back on his promise, he says that you should just say no. Although it is a falsehood, it's a lie that you don't have anything, but it's going to protect you. And it's actually going to bring compassion towards you if you say that you have nothing. So you should just lie and say that you don't have anything to give. And in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions how beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing. And living in Los Angeles, where homelessness is probably, Los Angeles City has more homeless people than any other city, you can see that a lot of them present themselves as possessing nothing. And it draws compassion. You feel like, oh, I want to help them. Of course, devotees know that there's charity in the mode of goodness, charity in the mode of passion, charity in the mode of ignorance, and from Bhagavad Gita. And there's also transcendental charity. But people that are poverty-stricken, they present themselves as possessing nothing. And there's even one story that I read recently where there was a lady who, she was elderly, and she would go out and dress up like she had nothing. And this guy, every day he would give her at least $1, $2, sometimes even $5, because she drew out his compassion. He felt sorry, like, oh, this lady, she's so elderly, why is she suffering like this? And then one day he was waiting in traffic, and he saw the same lady in a 2014 car, a brand new car. And he was like, what is this? What's going on? He actually got out of his car and approached the lady. And after everything was done, it was revealed that this lady had a panhandling license. And so she would go out, dress up very poorly, and she would get money from people, even though her grandchildren were actually taking care of her. She was actually very wealthy, but she would go out and still get more. So you don't really know who's actually true. And even here, Sukracharya said, you should just say that you don't have anything. You should make it a falsehood. And even in the next verse, he justifies how lying is okay in certain circumstances. But we see that even in Vedic culture, this begging is there. The sadhus would perform madhukari. They would go from house to house like a bee goes from a flower to flower to flower, gathering pollen. So sadhus, they would perform this madhukari and they would beg. But this was not because the sadhus needed anything. As yesterday in Srila Prabhupada's lecture, he was talking about Python yoga. Of course, this is Lord Rishabhdev, but he was laying down and whatever came to him would come to him. And even Srila Prabhupada mentioned Bilva Mangala Thakur and Shripad Madhavendra Puri, and how if they didn't get anything, they would just fast. So this culture of begging from the sadhu side is actually for the grihastha's benefit. It's for the householder's benefit. And Srila Prabhupada in Srimad Bhagavatam states how Shukadev Goswami, he would go to the home of a householder and he would only stay as long as it would take to milk a cow. He would drink the milk and then he would go. But while he was waiting, he would instruct them on the absolute truth. So this is a culture that we don't really have in the Western civilization. We have unfortunate people who are placed in certain circumstances, either due to karma or even their own laziness, that they're poverty stricken, and so they present themselves as having nothing. Whereas sadhus, they don't need anything. They're a kinchana, they're free from all material desires, but they go for the benefit of the householders. And so we see that Lord Vamanadeva, even he's taking on the role, he's playing the, you know, as an actor plays a role as a beggar. He's coming, obviously he's the Lord. He's the supreme absolute truth. He has everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartite. Material worlds, spiritual worlds are emanating from him. But he's playing the role as begging from the king. And we see that even Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they also come as beggars. In the writings of our previous acharyas, it stated that one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was still Nimai Pandit living in Navadvip, he called Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And he told Lord Nityananda and he told Haridas Thakur that I want you to go out and I want you to beg. And I want you to ask everybody, I want you to beg them, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. Chant the holy names of Krishna, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. And begging, he says, Bhikshu, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur talks about Bhikshu, one who is Bhikshuka, he's depending on others. So the supreme controllers, Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, they went out and started begging door to door. Somebody would open the door and they would say, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. Some of them, they would feel happiness and they would chant. Others who weren't allowed to go to the late night kirtans of Nimai Pandit, of Lord Chaitanya, some of them said, beat them, beat them. And others, they said, oh, Nimai Pandit, he's making everybody so mad. He's driving everybody crazy. Just see, they're coming and begging us to do these things. Just see how this whole town is going mad because of Lord Chaitanya. But Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they were beggars. Bhikshuka, Bhikshu, they were begging from others to engage in devotional service. And so when they were begging like this, they came upon Jagai and Madai, two great drunkards that actually had performed every type of sin. They were actually Brahmins by birth. Their names were Madhavananda and Jagadananda. And being Brahmins by birth, they grew up in a Brahminical family. But then due to bad association, they became drunkards. And they would eat meat and drink wine every single day. Not a day would go without them performing some type of sin. They would beat people in the street. And if they couldn't beat anybody, then they would just beat each other, pull their hair and pound each other. They would sometimes burn people's homes down. But Vrindavan Das Thakur says that somehow or other, they did not commit Vaishnava aparad. Because they were never in the association of Vaishnavas. They were always in the association of drunkards. They were always in the taverns or the bars. They never got to associate with Vaishnavas. And so Lord Nityananda, being the ocean of compassion, he looked at Jagai and Madai, and he asked somebody, who are those people? They described them. And he said to Haridas Thakur, we are going to go to them, and we are going to make them chant Hare Krishna. We are going to bring them to Lord Chaitanya, and then the whole world will glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being Patita Pavana, the most merciful, the most compassionate to the fallen. And so Lord Nityananda, he went up to them, and he said, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. And they immediately turned around. They said, who dare say this? And they started running after Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and Lord Nitai and Haridas Thakur, they started running away as fast as possible. And while they were running, they were kind of joking. Haridas Thakur even said that, I escaped the Yavanas once, but this day I don't know if the Supreme Personality of Godhead will save me now. And so they ran away, and Jagai and Madai, being so big and fat and drunk, they tripped over themselves while they were running, and they started beating each other up. Lord Nitai and Haridas Thakur, they ran away. And so after begging like this every day, they would go to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at night and they would give a report of their preaching. And so Lord Nityananda told him about Jagai and Madai. And Lord Chaitanya said that just because they've gotten your darshan, they're already saved. And even one night, Jagai and Madai, they happened to see Lord Chaitanya. And they started joking with him. Oh, Nimai, it's so wonderful how you sing late at night, but you should chant the Mangala Chandi. And the Mangala Chandi is prayers to Durga Devi. So they were joking with Lord Chaitanya like this. But Lord Chaitanya, he just walked away. He didn't pay any attention to them. So the next day, Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, they went out to preach again. They went to beg from the people to chant the holy names of Krishna. And so Nityananda, he passed by Jagai and Madai. And Jagai and Madai, Madai said, oh, what is your name? And Lord Nityananda said, my name is Avadhut, which means transcendental person. And Madai, he took a clay pot and he smashed it on the head of Lord Nityananda, and blood started coming out. Immediately the devotees went and they ran and told Lord Chaitanya, you have to come. Jagai and Madai, they beat Lord Nityananda. And so Lord Chaitanya came immediately and he was ready to cut them down with the Sudarshan Chakra. But it's very interesting what Lord Nityananda Prabhu said. Lord Nitai, he said, please give them as bhiksha to me. Please give them in charity to me. Actually, I got hit and there's blood, but I feel no pain. And actually, Jagai, he saved me. Because Madai, he was going to throw another clay pot. And Jagai, he stopped him. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Jagai had saved Lord Nityananda, he immediately embraced Jagai. And as we know, Jagai and Madai, see the painting there? And Jagai and Madai, they became great Vaishnavas. They became great devotees of the Lord. All sin was taken away from them. But it's interesting how the Lord comes as a beggar. Lord Nityananda specifically asked Bhikshu, please give them as charity to me. And he saved them. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes as a beggar to understand the topmost love of his devotees. And so we in this material world, being conditioned, we come also as beggars. We beg Maya to give us more sense gratification, even though she's kicking us in the face again and again and again. We still beg for more. Please, I want more sense gratification. Please, I want more. And again, kicking in the face. But then we come to spiritual life. And we also come as beggars in spiritual life. We beg Gurudev, Gurudev, Kripa Bindudiya, Koroe Heda, Se China Peka, Tihina. Gurudev, I beg you, please make me more tolerant than a tree. Please make me more humbler than the blade of grass. And we beg Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Bolite Habe Pula Kesharira. When will my body shiver as I chant Lord Gauranga's holy names? Hari Hari Bolite Nayane. When will my eyes flow with tears when I chant the names of Hari Hari? We beg Lord Nityananda to get us away from the samsara, make it tucha, insignificant. So we come as beggars. And even when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we're begging for service. Srila Prabhupada gives the purport to the Maha Mantra that we're asking Lord Krishna and his energy to engage us in their service. So we beg charity from Guru Gauranga Gandharvika Giridhari, and then we take that and we distribute it to others. That's the Krishna consciousness movement. In the material world, we're beggars. And we actually possess nothing anyway because Krishna owns everything. So in material life, we're beggars, begging for the wrong things. And in spiritual life, the previous acharyas, they teach us how to beg appropriately to Guru, Gauranga, Radha and Krishna. And so we have to go very deeply into our spiritual life. In 2015, you know, it was such a blissful experience hearing Madhava sing. And, you know, every year, it's always a year to take inventory, to look within ourselves, look and see what needs to be done further in our devotional life. Reflect on anartas that I still have and anartas that, you know, will come and try to get rid of them. But it's always a chance to go deeper and deeper by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And so by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we're able to beg charity from Srila Prabhupada, and that charity we're asking for is love for Krishna. And we beg and we beg and we beg. And then at the same time, we try to help others on the order of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We try to get others to Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shiksha. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. If there's any questions or comments? Mataji Andrea.
Thanks, Prabhu, for such a nice class. I was just wondering, who would be an example of a sadhana siddhi?
Sadhana siddhi? For example, Dhruva Maharaj was a sadhana siddha. He got the instructions of Narada Muni. And so he followed the instructions of Narada Muni and was able to perfect himself in his sadhana. Ajamil also perfected himself in his sadhana afterwards. Sadhana siddha, also Narada Muni? Also? Or he was also Kripa siddha, right? Because he got the mercy of the Bhagavat, the Bhaktivedantas. Sadhana siddha is also, certain times it says that certain six Goswamis were sadhana siddhas. Only Rupa and Raghunath are Nitya Siddhas. And then you can even see some of our Acharyas are Sadhana Siddhas.
Would we be Kripa Siddhas because of Prabhupada?
Some say like that. But it seems that when you go more deeply into it, you're always getting mercy from somebody. So it always starts with mercy, causeless mercy, and then it goes into practicing our sadhana. So it's, and actually Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that Kripa Siddha is actually very rare. Sadhana Siddha is more for general devotees. But it always starts with mercy. Srila Prabhupada, our guru, other Vaishnavas, it always starts with getting that kripa, but then you have to do the work also. For instance, in the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya, what we see also in Christianity, in the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya, they're split into two. Some of them, they say that it's specifically by your own sadhana, and then others say that it's by grace or mercy. Same with the Christians. Some of them say that it's by works, and some of them say that it's by grace. But actually, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they take both of those together, and you have mercy, but then you also have to do the work. So it's both. It's not only by just grace, and it's not only just by work, but it's together. Anybody else want to say anything about that or ask another question? Prem Sankirtan Prabhu?
In the last word, verse, is explaining how falsity is never condemned in, they put a different example, and one is marriage ceremony. Mm-hmm. So can you explain something about that?
I was hoping to avoid this verse, but Svavas Prabhu mercifully bestowed upon it. Yeah. And it's coming from Sukrita Acharya, so we shouldn't take it as direct Shastra. Back to Steve Prabhu.
Thank you for giving this wonderful class. Please forgive me for showing up a little bit late. I'm kind of, I guess, in the middle of, sadhana and material life. There is a need for money. I picked up this book on the way, Working World, 5 Big Reasons to Smile on International Accountings Day. Are you sneaky smart? ? Yesterday at breakfast we had a great example of a guru giving the nectar of Srila Prabhupada's books out with his words, not asking for any money. These are not for sale, he was saying. It's for donation. Can you, I guess, balance that out? Because there's this material world of the working world, I got a magazine, wow. Or this world of giving out Prabhupada's words.
So giving out Srila Prabhupada's books. By the way, Vaisheshika Prabhu Ki. By giving out Srila Prabhupada's books, we're asking for a donation to cover the book. It's not for the individual devotee to gain any monetary asset. And, it's not that there's a huge push for getting a profit. But actually, when you understand a little drop of what Srila Prabhupada is giving in his books, these books are actually very priceless. They're not even worth millions and billions of dollars. They're beyond all kinds of money. They're priceless. They're worth much more than any monetary value system. So for devotees to go out and give these divine treasures to others and ask for a little donation just for the printing cost, it's actually very wonderful when you really understand the potency, the power, and the blessing of Srila Prabhupada. But you can see that in the working world, or just in the material world itself, people are doing the same activities that the devotees are doing, but the devotees are doing it in a spiritual way. For instance, we have a restaurant, and people can come and get prasadam, and somebody can look at it and just be like, oh, it's just another regular vegetarian restaurant. But actually, we're giving prasadam, and it's very divine. what's happening there. And devotees are cleaning the temple room, or they're doing what others may look at and say, wow, these are material activities. So what's the difference between what they're doing in the material world and what they're doing at the temple? But actually there's a great, great, great difference from what they're doing. Archita Prabhu would like to say something.
Hare Krishna. Nice question. It really applies to just about everybody in the room. That's why Varna and Ashram exists. You have to, first of all, declare, what are you? Are you a brahmachari? Are you a grihastha? Where are you? And which varna are you in? Are you a brahmana, church? But even if you don't have that, Prabhupada said, in this age, obviously there's no varna ashram. So whatever kind of work you do, Krishnaize it. If you work in a factory, Prabhupada said, but you're Krishna conscious and you're not working in a factory, you're working in Vaikuntha. So it's up to you. If you have an obligation to earn money, then earn money. But do it honestly, like Bhaktisiddhanta said. Better to be an honest street sweeper than to be a charlatan, so-called brahmana, you know, guru, whatever. So whatever you do, just do it honestly and earn whatever Krishna sends and use some of that money in Krishna's service and you're covered. You're Krishna conscious. The main goal of your life should be to become Krishna conscious. And you can do that in any status of life. But you have to declare, though, just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta himself, he said he didn't want to get married because if he got married, there would be expectations, you know. So he'd rather stay as a brahmachari, and there's no expectations in terms of money and maintaining family and stuff like that. So declare, where are you? You, personally, you have to declare, what am I? Am I a brahmachari? Then you have no such obligations. Just live in the ashram, go out and distribute books, you know, clean the temple, whatever they ask you to do, and you're covered. But if you don't want to be in a brahmachari ashram, then you also have to be honest. Okay, I want to be a grihastha, find a wife, work, make money, maintain the griha, give some money to the temple. That's the system that's been set up.
Kriya Shakti Mataji would like to say something.
I was thinking about this Madhukari and recalling that when Srila Prabhupada was writing his books, he would perform this Madhukari, but he would go and he would beg pencils and paper. Mm. So that he could write, that's what people would give. And Guru Kripa tells a story that when he was getting initiated, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada and requesting initiation, but he said, I can't do this. He said, this is not something I can do on my own, is follow these four regs and chant Hare Krishna, and so you have to give me your mercy to do this. And Srila Prabhupada named him Guru Kripa.
Jai.
Mercy of the Guru.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.
So, Prabhus, before we go, I just want to make a small announcement. This morning's breakfast, we have a special breakfast this morning being sponsored by Nihar and Janaki Parekh. And the reason is because Janaki's father, Shamlal Prabhu, lived in South Africa. And he was a very big preacher there, but he died 1 year ago, January 5th in 2014. So they're sponsoring the